This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
'20 has been a year like no other.
They're going to talk about this forever, baby. They're going to talk about this forever. It's going to be special. They're going to talk about it forever, baby.
Y'all going to make a movie about this.
This football season is certain to follow that lead.
Might have been reading a press clipping and said they're so good because they didn't show up today.
Questions like never before surround every team, both on the field and off of it.
I'm not really sure what's going on down there and why they made this move.
Will Mahomes barbecue the record books?
At the 20-yard line and then spun down there, the first giant chunk of the game on third down and 15. And Mahomes guns it for 44.
Can Brady recapture the jewels for a gang of pirates?
The clock's ticking on everybody. We're going to have to work as hard as we can and not waste any minutes of any day.
Will Trevor Lawrence make the Tigers the kings of the jungle?
Lawrence takes a shot, then snap. Here comes pressure. Lawrence going to go and look long, but he lost. Ross makes a one-handed grab, and the Alabama 45 is knocked out of bounds.
Every week, the answers are right here, right now. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Happy Sunday, everybody. Damon Amendolar with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming your way, we've got our friend Larry Hartstein from Sportsline, our Vegas virtuoso, in 20 minutes to look at today's NFL lines from a Vegas perspective. Also in 40 minutes, whether Mike Leach can work at Mississippi State, how much input players should have in coaching changes, and is this the end of the Pro Bowl as we know it? It's Sunday Morning Football, and you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all of our hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. Take us with you on your phone wherever you go. Stream us using the CBS Sports app or Radio.com's app or Apple Music. And you can always tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Again, in your house, in the garage, around the home, or whatever you're doing over the course of a Sunday morning before football, you could just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. We begin hour number two of this show every week by coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down three enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
Over. The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
The game of the day, the Packers and the Buccaneers. While the Buccaneers are coming off a dispiriting loss against the Chicago Bears two Thursdays ago, the Packers are flying high. Nobody's playing quarterback at a higher level than the 4-0 Aaron Rodgers-led offense of the Green Bay Packers. And Brady knows if he's going to go throw for throw, he's going to have to be nearly perfect.
I think there's a lot to like about his play and his ability to pass football. He's, I think everybody always is pretty much in awe of how he makes it look so easy. When you play against another great quarterback, you know that that team's going to be, you know, those are the tough teams to beat because they're prepared. You know, they're going to play well on offense. They've got very talented defense. It just means you can't make a lot of mistakes.
Like misread the downs and think that you got five downs instead of just four. I think the Packers today are going to expose the Buccaneers as pretenders. Look, Tampa Bay's okay at times. They've looked good, but it's not good enough, in my estimation, to be able to beat this Packers squad. Green Bay right now, its offense is just phenomenal. It is getting production on the ground. It's getting production from so many different wide receivers. And Rodgers has clearly just clicked into a different gear. 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, more than 1,200 yards already on the season. So when I look at Rodgers and I look at Brady, Brady's been fine. Rodgers has been elite. And the Buccaneers, when you look at their victories, they're against teams. They're likely against three non-playoff teams. The Panthers are a good surprise, but I would expect them in January. They beat the Broncos and needed a furious comeback against the Chargers. Those aren't good wins. I think the Buccaneers are good. They're not great. They're 3-2, and they're in the playoff conversation. But the Packers are in a Super Bowl conversation. And I think today you are going to see that line. Again, Brady has looked good, like the five touchdown effort against the Chargers of the comeback. But he's also looked very pedestrian at times as well, like against the Bears last Thursday. It will not surprise me today to see the Packers look like a complete and dominant team, and Rodgers look like he can still win a Super Bowl, while Tom Brady and the Buccaneers do not. And this is not to take anything away from Tom Brady, because what he's doing at 43 years old is historically great, but he's just not at that level anymore. And I don't think the Buccaneers are at that level right now. And it's time to give Matt LaFleur some major credit. I know that it seemed like he and Rodgers were at odds last year, and the way that the Packers season ended in San Francisco was definitely demoralizing if you're a Packer fan, since they were out of that game by the start of the second quarter. But LaFleur in two seasons, in year one, went to an NFC championship game and went 12-4. And in year two, might have the best team in football and have Rodgers playing at his very best level ever. I love the way the Packers are playing. I don't love the way that the Buccaneers are playing. The Packers are a slight favorite of this game. I think they should be a heavy favorite in this game. I like the Packers in a comfortable game and a comfortable win today. The Jets play the Dolphins, and the only other late game of the day in that 4 o'clock Eastern time window. And this is just a disaster on top of a dumpster fire, on top of a clown show. This past week, Greg Williams said that while the defensive stats are terrible for the Jets, it's not only the defense's fault that the numbers are so bad. Basically saying that the offense had put them in bad spots by turnovers and things like that. So already we're not even at Halloween and the coaching staff of the Jets is at one another's throats. And whoever thought that putting feisty, fiery, combative Greg Williams with the socially awkward Adam Gase would ever be a good idea? The Jets are the most poorly constructed coaching staff in years.
It's not a very, very good number, you know, and a lot of it's not all defensively, but, you know, it's not a very good number. And it's points on the board. We've got to do a good job with that. And how you do that is make them kick more field goals. Got to do a better job in field position type things. And as you see, the scoring's up in the league, but it still makes me sick. You know, and all the players I've been places, I always talk about setting defense back 100 years. Okay, because you got to be able to place very strict, stringent defense. And the biggest part of it is when they get into those scoring areas, make them kick field goals. Don't let them cross the goal line.
When you say it's not all a defensive thing, what are you referring to?
Yeah, you'd have to figure it out.
You'd have to figure it out. Adam Gase said it was stupid for him to say anything. And now reports are that tension is building within the organization. How bad could it be? How stupid was this? That you had a GM in Mike Maccagnan who was basically given Adam Gase by ownership. That apparently Peyton Manning's word was that good, and the ownership said, I don't care who the GM wants, he's the new head coach. And then Gase and Maccagnan have differences, so Gase gets his own GM, Joe Douglas. And his defensive coordinator, again, is a guy that does not play well with others, that is incredibly combative. And Gase is very obviously not a great communicator. Whatever you think about his offensive mind, that reputation's right now in tatters anyway. But let's just say that maybe he's hamstrung because he doesn't have great offensive weapons. That's not his fault. He's not a great communicator, obviously. I mean, Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams did not like him. It doesn't seem like Greg Williams likes him very much. Who would ever think that this marriage or this structure could work, would work? Here's best case scenario for the Jets. That they flame out, bottom out, go 0-16, have the number one pick in the draft, draft Trevor Lawrence. Either you're trading Sam Darnold for something or you're trading the pick of Trevor Lawrence for a million other picks. It's one or the other. I think that's the only way this gets better, to fire Adam Gase, to start over the offseason, and to say we're going to start over with either Trevor Lawrence or a boatload of picks because of Trevor Lawrence. That's it, because this season is obviously lost. This coaching staff stinks. Gase is a disaster. Greg Williams is a disaster. I mean, look, Greg Williams, it's one thing to blame your offense for bad field position, but you're the second worst defense in the NFL behind only the Cowboys, who are historically bad. That's not just being put in bad field position, okay? That is that your defense is taking awful penalties constantly. Bad pass interferences or bad unsportsmanlike conduct or roughing the quarterback. I mean, it's never ending with the Jets, D, and that's on Greg Williams. That whole thing is just an absolute nightmare. And finally, yesterday was a low point for Syracuse football, which also means it was a high point for Liberty football. And don't look now, but the head coach of Liberty is going to start getting some push for another SEC coaching job.
Pickett, the handoff, looks for room up the middle. 10, 5, light him up. Touchdown, Liberty, Peyton Pickett. And the Syracuse defense looks as dejected as any defense we've seen this year.
It's a win over an ACC opponent that's a Power 5 opponent. So I think it definitely, again, I said this week, I thought that just kind of it expedites, you know, our expectations and where we are. Obviously, you got to do it every week, but we sure are pleased with today's effort and result.
Well, let's talk about it from both sides. That was head coach Hugh Freeze after a beatdown of Syracuse at the Carrier Dome yesterday. That was Alan York on Liberty Flames Radio. From a Hugh Freeze perspective, this was a guy that did turn Ole Miss into winners. And he took an Ole Miss program that is very obviously one of the afterthoughts of the SEC and brought them to four consecutive bowl appearances. He got them, in fact, to two major bowl appearances in the Peach Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. He ended two seasons ranked in the top 20, one of which ranked in the top 10. When Ole Miss football finishes the season ranked in the top 10, you've done something historic. But what we found out was that Hugh Freeze was cheating his butt off and that there were major recruiting violations and all types of nonsense that was happening there. This is also the place where Laramie Tunsil was going into the draft, basically using his gas mask as a bong. Ole Miss was pretty much a renegade program under Hugh Freeze. And so even despite his run of 5 years and a ton of success there, he got shoved out the door. So he's then basically on a 2 to 3 year sabbatical. Nobody wants to hire him. He's toxic. And he lands at Liberty, which is a independent team that had just gone from FCS to FBS. And in year number one, he takes Liberty to 8-5 and they get to a Cure Bowl. And this year they're 5-0 and just stomped on an ACC team on the road. You know, I don't know if any AD could feel comfortable with hiring Hugh Freeze after the disaster that was Ole Miss. I don't know how any AD could be completely comfortable or at ease bringing him into the fray. But he's won everywhere he's gone. Arkansas State, Ole Miss, now Liberty. And after what happened to Auburn yesterday, losing to South Carolina for the first time since 1933, and for Gus Malzahn, who's always seemingly one foot in, one foot out at Auburn, I'm already seeing the tweets happening from Auburn fans saying, fire Gus, hire Hugh. So you know what's going to happen if this continues for Liberty. Number two, for Syracuse, this is one of the lowest moments in its program history. Because yesterday, Liberty not only won but dominated. They were the superior team. And you have to wonder about Dino Babers. Because Dino's now in year number five at Syracuse. And assuming that they are a losing team this year, under 500, which is a very safe assumption, they 4 out of 5 years, they will be a losing record with Dino at the helm. Only one winning season. And it seemed like Dino had this thing turned around a couple of years ago. They had won 10 games. They were in battles tooth and nail with Clemson. They seemed like they were an up-and-coming team. They were a preseason ranked team last year. And yet, they have just been a disaster. Now, not all of this is on Dino yesterday because his starting quarterback, Tommy DeVito, is out. His best player overall, Andre Sisco, on defense is out. He had many opt-outs in the offseason because of COVID. There were no fans in attendance. You know, those are things that are beyond a head coach's control when you have a home game against an FBS independent that just happened to jump up into the Division I from a couple of years ago. But this is dark. This is a low, low moment, and it's going to force Syracuse football to ask itself a very important question. Do we want to compete? Because if we want to compete, we need to reassess recruiting and recruiting budgets and assistant coach budgets and facilities and what's our investment in talent. Because Dino's not going anywhere. He's got a buyout, which makes it cost prohibitive. He's going to be owed $17 million to be bought out this offseason. That's not going to happen at a school like Syracuse. He's not going to pay that just to buy somebody out and then also pay somebody else. So he's the head coach. They've got to invest in recruiting. They've got to invest in a stronger support staff, recruiting staff, and assistant coaching staff. Because they're now in the big boys of the ACC. And look, once upon a time, they were competing in the Big East and they were putting out NFL products, and Donovan McNabb and Dwight Freeney were coming through that program. And those are, you know, Hall of Fame or at least Pro Bowl caliber players of the NFL. And now you're getting run over by Liberty yesterday, who had nearly 300 yards rushing in the first half. Just getting mauled on the offensive line by Liberty. That'll make you open up your eyes and wonder, what do we have to change? Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, it's time for our Vegas spotlight. Let's look at today's NFL lines with our Vegas virtuoso, Larry Hartstein. You'll get the inside intel next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
It's always fun to be with you on a Sunday morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendolara. And joining us for our Vegas Virtuoso segment to look at today's NFL lines is Sportsline senior analyst and CBS sports gambling writer. He's been hitting at a 57% clip over the last three seasons, our friend Larry Hartstein. Larry, good morning. How you doing?
Great, DA. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, as always, for joining us. I want to just begin with the big game this weekend and coming up later on today. It's Bucks and it's Packers, Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. And throughout the week, this has been about a one-point line in favor of the Packers. That's a pretty slight line considering the Packers are undefeated. What do you think about the Packers as basically a one-point favorite?
You know, the public is all over Green Bay, and I know the sharps are split a little bit, but I have to back the public. I mean, like you said, they've covered every game. Aaron Rodgers has not thrown a pick. Davante Adams is coming back. Vita Vea will be out for the Bucks. Tom Brady just won 6-1 against the spread in his last eight against winning teams dating to last year. So with the Packers, I'm basically going to keep playing them until they prove otherwise.
What do we think about the total here at 54.5?
Yeah, it's a real tough one with, you know, this year totals have been skyrocketing over, as we know, hitting about 60%. But, I mean, I respect the Bucs defense, so if I had to, I would lean under.
Late game tonight, Sunday Night Football's Rams and Niners. Now, the Niners haven't beaten anybody decent. Their only two wins of the season are against the hapless Giants and Jets. The Rams are 4-1. The Niners might have a problem at Jimmy Garoppolo under center and have total injuries, and the Rams are only a 2.5-point favorite. To me, something's amiss here. I would think the Rams should be favored by more. What am I missing here?
Look back to the summer where the 49ers were laying 7 in this matchup. So we've seen a 10-point swing. Professionals all over the Niners. It got up to 3.5, and now they've been hammering it. Now it's come under a field goal. I mean, the offense is getting healthier. If there was ever a spot for Kyle Shanahan and the Niners to put up a solid performance at home, desperation, Jimmy G sat out the second half. You hope he's a little healthier. I'm going to lean Niners, but I would want at least a field goal.
Larry Hartstein joins us to look at today's NFL lines. The Jets and Dolphins, there is major dissension seemingly building within the Jets. Greg Williams openly questioning his own offense. Adam Gase admitting he shouldn't have said that. The Dolphins are an 8.5-point favorite right now. Yesterday, I believe, was 9.5. What do you see from the Dolphins? I mean, can the Jets keep it within single digits today?
The Jets have lost every game by at least 9 points. 0-5 against the spread, failing to cover by an average of 11, easily the worst in all of football. But historically, everything is telling you to take the Jets. In fact, 0-5 teams are about 62% against the spread. And the Dolphins, in their history, the last 7 times they've laid a number around 9 or higher, have not covered any of them. All of that said, you've got to look at what we're seeing this year. The Jets are a train wreck. I laid the points. I laid 8.5.
The Lions and Jaguars. Jason Lockenfora had a report today for CBS Sports suggesting that if the Lions lose today in Jacksonville, Matt Patricia could be fired tomorrow. The Lions are a 3-point favorite. If they're that desperate and they absolutely have to win this game, should we look at the Lions laying 3?
Yeah, initially I was looking at the Lions with the extra rest against the Jacksonville team that's lost 4 straight and looked terrific. But Jacksonville was down a lot of defensive starters at Houston, and at least 2 of those guys, Jack and Henderson, are back for sure today. And you've also got the Lions dealing with an injury to their starting center. I want to keep an eye on that. Right now I'm going to lean Jack plus the field goal.
Browns and Steelers, a huge one of the AFC North. By the end of today, the Browns could be all alone by themselves in first place in the AFC North if they beat the Steelers and the Eagles beat the Ravens. But for the Browns and Steelers, this line is about the Steelers by 3 points. If we assign home field advantage 3 points, that means in a neutral site, Vegas thinks that these two teams are essentially equal. How much do you value home field advantage this year when there's little or no fans in attendance?
Yeah, it's been way less than that this year, about 1 point. I think is about standard. And this is all of a matchup of, do you believe what you've seen from the Steelers, or do you think it's a reflection of their schedule? 3-15-1 is the record of the teams they've beaten. I just think the Browns' peak value here, I mean, they've put up 30 points, 4 straight, 1-4 in a row, but those were against horrific rushing defenses. Now you face the number one rush defense. You face the team that is pressuring quarterbacks 50% of the time, and we all know Mayfield banged up with the ribs and not great when harassed under pressure. So I'm going to lay the field goal with the Steelers.
Ravens and Eagles, as I mentioned, this one's going to be in Philadelphia. The Ravens are a 10-point favorite on the road. Are the Eagles that bad?
This line is insane given how well the Eagles have played the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, right.
They should have covered against the Steelers. And I got on this when it was 7.5. I would not lay 10, but the one matchup that just jumps out at me is the Eagles cannot cover tight ends. Opposing quarterbacks, 31 of 36, 222 yards, 5 TDs throwing to the tight end. And we know Lamar Jackson has not been great this year, but that's one thing he does well with Mark Andrews. So I just think the Ravens, I mean, aside from the loss to KC, every other win, 14 or more points. I would not lay 10, though.
The Patriots are about a touchdown and a half favorite over the Broncos at home today. Now, this line has come back down a little bit because of some positive tests for the Patriots and players sitting out. How does that make you assess Pats and Broncos today?
The only way I could lean in this one is to grab the points. Just because, you know, Drew Lock is back. He won't have his tight end, Noah Fant. But I think Melvin Gordon staying back with the illness is actually good because Philip Lindsay is much more efficient, and I just think they're going to rally around him. They're going to play a better game with Lindsey than they would with Gordon. And also, like you said, all the uncertainty with the Patriots, they play a very conservative style. No way I'm looking to lay almost 10 points with that kind of team.
Bengals and Colts is an early game today as well. And I think a lot of people got sucked into the Bengals after they got their first win last week against the Ravens. And then the Ravens kind of blew out Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and they needed that late field goal just to avoid the shutout. So now maybe more people are a little bit hesitant on betting on the Bengals. Right now the Colts are 7.5-point favorites over Cincinnati at home. How do you read this one?
Kind of the same story. I'm not looking to lay big points with a team that has a conservative profile like the Colts. They do have a great defense, but you know, with Phillip Rivers, they just want to run the ball. They just want to protect him. And the Bengals, I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass. It's a terrible matchup with them and the Ravens. And Joe Burrow was under absolute siege all day. But I'm going to trust what I saw the other several weeks leading in and believe that the Bengals can keep it respectable.
The Titans and the Texans. The Titans are ascending. They had that big win over the Bills. The Texans are a disaster. They had to change their head coach. Romeo Crennel is right now their interim head coach. And the Titans are only a slight favorite of this one, about 3.5 the Titans are favored by. Is that an indictment that the Texans' talent is way better than their record would indicate?
I think the Texans are better than their record. And I think, you know, emotionally they dislike Bill O'Brien so much. And it's all on them now to prove that he was the problem, and they aren't the problem. And historically, Deshaun Watson as a road dog, it hasn't panned out this year. They were very competitive at Pittsburgh. Kansas City, they lost by 2 touchdowns, but he hasn't covered either of those. But historically, as a road dog, he's been very effective, getting more than a field goal against the Tennessee team. That was a blowout in the final score, but if you look at Tuesday night, there were 3 drives that were probably like 20 yards against Buffalo, and it's a short week for Tennessee. I'm going to take the points with Houston.
It's a comprehensive look around the NFL with Larry Hartstein from CBS Sportsline. Finally, tomorrow night's games. Again, 2 of them, as you have another doubleheader into the Chiefs and Bills game, move from Thursday to Monday. This is a 5 p.m. Eastern kick from Buffalo tomorrow on Fox and NFL Network. And the Chiefs are 5-point favorites on the road in Buffalo. Now, the Chiefs are coming off that loss against the Raiders. Do we expect a highly motivated and angry Chiefs team after that loss?
You said it. No way am I getting in the way of the Chiefs following a loss, their first loss in, I think, 14 or 15 games against a Buffalo defense that's really struggling. And they could get Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano back. They're both questionable. They'll need them to have any chance of slowing down KC. This is a shootout. I'm looking at 34-24 KC.
The over-under is 56.5 in this one. And then finally, Cowboys and Cardinals, the late game tomorrow night. And the Cardinals are a slight favorite, a 1-point favorite on the road in Dallas. How much does the loss of Dak Prescott and now leaning on Andy Dalton affect how you lean on Cowboys games?
Yeah, we're getting value now with the Cowboys. And they're going to be a little bit different, and that's probably going to help. I mean, this defense needs rest. And if they can just focus on Zeke running the ball, Dalton will be fine. I think they're going to be a better team for it in some ways, given the value of the spread. Not overall, but given this spread. And Chandler Jones being out is huge. And what have the Cardinals done since that great start? That win over the Niners, which we thought was, you know, monumental, doesn't look so great anymore. They had those 2 bad losses, and then they beat the pathetic Jets. So I'm not sure they should even be road favorites in this one.
Larry Hartstein, Sportsline senior analyst, CBS sports gambling writer. He's hitting at about a 57% clip over the last 3 years. So check him out and follow him at Larry Hartstein on Twitter, at Larry Hartstein. Read him at sportsline.com. Larry, enjoy the game today, man. Enjoy all the games today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, DA.
Larry Hartstein, our Vegas virtuoso this morning. We do that every single Sunday morning here on CBS Sports Radio right around this time. So make this part of your Sunday morning habits to listen in if you're interested in the Vegas perspective and some intel on the gambling lines. Every single week, we've been doing this for years at this exact time, about 11:20 Eastern time, 8:20 Pacific. We always go inside the Vegas perspective with one of our virtuosos. Coming up here on the show, we go inside our insiders segment, which means We get thoughts on whether Mike Leach will work at Mississippi State, whether players should have a say in coaches' hirings and firings in the NFL, and why this could be the flickering flame at the end of the Pro Bowl. All of that coming up straight ahead as part of Sunday Morning Football. Damon Amendola, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, DA. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
Today it's week 6 of the NFL on CBS, and most of you will see an AFC Central clash between Baker Mayfield's Browns and Big Ben Steelers, although now it's an AFC North clash, no longer a Central. Along with other regional action, the day begins with James Brown of the Guys breaking down all of the hottest topics around the league of the NFL. Today, starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. It's time now for our Insider segment, where we like to hear from those in and around the game on the game themselves. We begin with SEC on CBS analyst Brian Jones, who's always a wonderful quote and a wonderful conversation. I had him on the show on Friday as we headed into another weekend of what are the Mississippi State Bulldogs under Mike Leach. Brian Jones says he knows exactly what they are. Not much. He says you can't win if you're a Mike Leach coach team in this conference. Here's Brian Jones.
We know who Mississippi State is. They're exactly what I thought they would be. I know we were all shocked and we jumped on the bandwagon and said, well, maybe this is something different. But if you can't run the ball in this league, you can't win in this league. And they can't run the ball. And they return the SEC's leading rusher from a season ago. And where do they rank right now? I mean, they're dead last. And that's terrible. Why wouldn't you lean on Kylan Hill? And I said at the beginning of the season, yeah, you chunked it around on LSU, great. But teams catch up to that. And all you had to do was employ a simple defense. If you can't protect KJ Costello and these guys can't get open downfield, no, it's not going to work. He's a cautionary tale, just like he was at Texas Tech. He had a year there at Tech, where he won double digits, of course, knocked off my Longhorns when they were number one. He had a year or two there at Washington State where they won double-digit games. We'll see if that happens at Mississippi State. I'm going to say it will not until you learn how to run the rock.
And now we are 3 weeks removed from that unbelievable upset of the defending national champion LSU Tigers in Baton Rouge. And Mississippi State is 0-3. They lost again yesterday to number 11, Texas A&M, 28-14, and this was very prescient by Brian Jones. Again, that was his commentary on Friday. Yesterday, Mississippi State rushed for a total of negative 2 yards as a team. Their high rusher was Jaquavius Marks with just 25 yards on the ground. Now, a lot of that negative yardage was because of sacks of their quarterbacks, but again, they can't run the football. They don't run the football, and that's what Brian Jones was talking about. And that could end up being the ultimate Achilles heel for Mississippi State. It's kind of amazing how quickly things can crash and burn. I certainly was here on these airwaves on this show talking about how interesting Mississippi State now suddenly became, how much more interesting the SEC West suddenly became after the way that they kind of dismantled the LSU defense. But in the 3 weeks since, it's been just a disaster. I mean, they lost 21-14 to Arkansas, who is up and coming. But then they got completely shut down by Kentucky, 24-2. And against Texas A&M, they lost 28-14. I mean, since in the 3 weeks since they beat LSU and put up 44 points, they put up a total of 30 in 3 weeks. That does not feel like any type of revolutionary offense that Mike Leach, the Pirate, has brought to the SEC. Sam Acho played linebacker for Texas and played in the NFL as well. Last year, he was on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I was asking Sam earlier this week about what's happening in New York with Adam Gase, how both Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell openly kind of feuded with Adam Gase, and ultimately both of those guys were shipped out of town, at least for Le'Veon Bell. They couldn't trade him. They had to release him. He ends up in Kansas City with the Chiefs. And I asked Sam whether he thought it was important to listen to players when it came to their thoughts on a head coach, or if that should be simply an administrative decision made by the GM and the front office and the ownership staff. Here was Sam Acho.
Sometimes there are these cases, people say when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going wrong. I think that's keeping it real. Obviously, you saw with Jamal Adams, some of the people say he was a disgruntled player and he should have stayed. Well, he decided to leave, went to Seattle, and Seattle obviously is doing unbelievable. Well, fast forward, you see Le'Veon Bell get released, and Adam Gase says, oh, we don't want him. He didn't want to be part of the team. Let's get rid of him. And now you see what happens. And so, yeah, I think, first of all, with Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams, those are two really good players. And sometimes you got to listen to the player, right? The coach might say one thing, but the players, if a multitude of players are saying, man, there's something about this culture or this team, it might be wise to listen to them.
I think it's undeniable in New York that Adam Gase is a disaster. I think it's undeniable, even if Jamal Adams and or Le'Veon Bell are high-maintenance guys, it's undeniable that Gase is a disaster. Because when you're losing, obviously there's a shorter leash on people's patience with you. And your style, if you're losing, your style is normally going to rub somebody the wrong way. If you're winning, kind of all is forgiven. But in New York, it's been losing and it's been bizarre coaching and it's been disgruntled players and it's been bizarre press conferences and it's been questionable relationships between the staff itself. I mean, when Greg Williams and Adam Gase are kind of feuding with one another publicly, what does that tell you? To me, Adam Gase might be a bright offensive mind. Might be. I find it hard to believe that simply because Peyton Manning vouches for you, suddenly you want to give credit to Peyton Manning's success to Adam Gase. I mean, Peyton Manning was a Hall of Famer before he ever met Adam Gase. So did he have a very productive season in Denver with Gase? Sure. How much is that of that is Adam Gase? How much of that is just simply that Peyton Manning went to a different level without Adam Gase even in his life? And that could find a next level because of the type of player and competitor and brainiac and savant that Peyton Manning is at that position. But I just find it hard to believe you would assign too much of the glory of Peyton Manning to Adam Gase. And okay, so Gase had a good season in Miami where he brought the Dolphins to the playoffs. But he's a guy that very obviously is socially awkward. He's very obviously, he has a difficult time building relationships seemingly with players. And right now his offense is a nightmare. And Sam Darnold is regressing. Well, those are the things that, whether you're great with people or not, that has to translate on Sundays, and it's not. So while I think Le'Veon Bell was a headache, and I think Le'Veon Bell has his own set of issues, as evidenced by before he got to New York with Adam Gase, what's happening with the Jets just underlined that Gase has got to be gone. Finally, here's Jonathan Stewart, who's the all-time leading rusher for the Carolina Panthers. He made a Pro Bowl. And I spoke to him on the day that we learned that this year's Pro Bowl is going to be canceled. There will be no Pro Bowl. There will be a team that is announced so that guys get Pro Bowl nods, but they won't have to play in a game because of COVID this year. It's going to be the next Pro Bowl game scheduled is going to be next year in Las Vegas. I asked him, does he like the idea of being named to a Pro Bowl but not having to play in a Pro Bowl game?
The importance of guys right now and their health, I think, is the awareness of health is probably at an all-time high as an athlete, where you have guys that want to take care of their bodies, that know the importance of playoffs and Super Bowls. And when you have, at the end of the season, you know, another game to just put on, you know, display for the fans, you're putting yourself at another potential risk of, you know, season-ending injury where you have to go into the offseason and now you're rehabbing. Those are all fears that guys have when it comes to the Pro Bowl games. And, you know, getting rid of that for this year might set, you know, a trend going forward. And I'm pretty sure a lot of guys, you know, like that idea. There's some guys that enjoy playing in the Pro Bowl, especially if it's their first one. But I think after you get over the first one, you're pretty over it.
I think we might have hit critical mass on the Pro Bowl because in recent years, it's become so silly. The guy's barely hit. There's barely tackling. It's more like it's two-hand touch. So many guys opt out of it. They've tried to move it from Hawaii to Orlando or Miami. They've moved it from the week after the Super Bowl to the week before the Super Bowl. So now Super Bowl teams don't have entrance in it. Also, they've tried to have coaches of legends like Jerry Rice and Michael Irvin have been the coaches of the Pro Bowl. Remember, it was Team Rice and Team Irvin instead of NFC, AFC. They've tried all of this wacky, quirky, silly stuff because at the end of the day, the players don't want to play in the game. They just don't. They want the Pro Bowl nomination because being named to the Pro Bowl is an accolade. And it helps them with salary bonuses. It helps them with Hall of Fame resumes. It helps them selling books and getting endorsement deals in their life after football. They're aware of what being a Pro Bowler means to their reputation. But they don't want to play in the game. But the NFL wants the game because it's still a good ratings. It's still a good TV ratings event. And the networks want the game because even though it's garbage football, we will watch whatever is on TV if it's football. So the networks want it, thus the NFL wants it, but the players don't really want it. And I think this year is the beginning of the end because for the first time, you're just going to have guys named to the Pro Bowl and not have to play in a game. And suddenly next year, you're going to jump to 17 games as a schedule. Remember, next year is going to be the regular season, 17 games and expanded playoffs. So more teams will play more, all teams, every player will play more games. And more teams will play more playoff games. I don't see how that translates to guys still wanting to play in the Pro Bowl. I really don't. And I wrote a piece about this for CBS Sports. And you can read this piece more in depth if you want to check it out. I posted it on my Twitter profile, at DA on CBS on Twitter, at DA on CBS. But I think that this is really the beginning of the end. I don't think you put this genie back in the bottle. And I don't know what the NFL is going to try to do. Maybe it's a flag football game. Maybe it's a rookies versus second-year players. You heard Jonathan Stewart say, you know, you play your first, you're excited. After that, the whole thing wears off. Maybe it's just rookies versus second-year guys, young guys that would still want to play, kind of like the NBA does, rookies versus sophomores. But in terms of the traditional Pro Bowl, I just don't see it working once you ask guys to play more games. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Ryan Hickey, executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Anthony Pierno on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Pete McCarthy on your headlines. I'm DA. I will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. Eastern Time on the DA Show, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy your day of football, everybody.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.